Well, I'm going to preface my message this morning with this. I'm praying that this is a word from God this morning and that I speak His words this morning. I have been dealing with a pinched sciatic this week and been in a lot of pain, and it took me longer to work through my message, and even I had to stand to do it, and I've been on painkillers and muscle relaxers, and so I'm hoping that I was hearing the Holy Spirit and not just the pain relaxers and all those things, okay? So I preface that with before I start, and I'm kind of joking, but it made sense to me when I put this together, and I hope it makes sense when I share it today. So anyways, man, I just made a fool of myself, huh? Hey, authenticity is one of our core values, and so just being real. But no, I believe God's given us a great word this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Galatians 5, as we're going to once again kind of read through the section there on the fruit of the Spirit. We're continuing our series that we started several weeks ago titled Feeding the Dogs, a series that's taking us through the nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. And as we've jumped into the series, we've been talking about this battle that we go through every day between the things of the Spirit and the things of the flesh. And we've used the analogy in this battle of between the Spirit and the flesh, we've used this analogy of two dogs battling for your loyalty, two dogs really battling for your life. And I started off the series asking the question, who are you feeding? Which one of these are you feeding? Are you feeding the dog of the Spirit, or are you feeding the dog of the flesh? Because whatever we feed, that's what's going to grow, okay? Whatever we starve, that's what's going to weaken in our life. And so God's desire is that we would feed the things of Him, that we would seek Him in our life and feed the things of God, and so that we would see the things of the world begin to weaken. And so one of the ways that we see God grow in our life is by seeking the things of Him and allowing His fruit to be developed in and through us. And so if you have your Bibles or your iPhones or your Androids or whatever it is you read the scriptures on, then you can follow along with me here as we read once again out of Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25. It says this, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience." Remember that from last week, right? "Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires," or is trying their best to starve the things of the world, right? And verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit," or continue to feed the things of the Spirit in our life. That's God's desire for us, is that we would seek these things and see these things grow in us as we seek the things of Him. Now, we've been talking about the fact that the fruit of the Spirit reflects our attitude. It reflects our attitude towards God. It reflects our attitude towards people. It reflects our attitude towards ourself at times. And we've pointed out how important our attitude is, because attitude plays a big role in our life. Our attitude determines who we become. Our attitude determines what kind of fruit we see developed in our life. So each week we've been looking, along with the fruit of the Spirit, we've been looking at nine different deadly attitudes. Attitudes that actually will feed the dog of the flesh. Attitudes that can destroy our relationship with the Lord and can destroy our relationship with others. And so then we've then taken that attitude up against one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit and looked at how God would desire us to live instead of this attitude that so often we fall into. We started off several weeks ago with the attitude of the egotist. And so we pointed out that the fruit of the Spirit that battles that is love. Then the next week we talked about the attitude of the victim. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit that helps us combat that attitude is joy. Walking in joy, seeking joy. Then we talked about the attitude of the fighter. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit that helps us combat that is the attitude or the characteristic of peace. And then last week we talked about the attitude of the perfectionist, and I remember that one because it hit me well. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit that helps us combat that attitude, which is patience. Well, the attitude that we're going to look at this morning is the attitude of the user. Now, for the user, achievement is everything. All their life is about achieving more and more success. Now, this attitude can actually be very deceiving, okay? And the reason is because it's something that's rewarded culturally. That culturally, we reward achievement. You see, achievement sometimes earns us position. It earns us power. It can earn us money. But the thing we have to realize when we're talking about achievement is everything, when we're talking about the user, we have to realize that the problem isn't achievement itself. The problem is how we attain the achievement, how we get those things that we're seeking to achieve. You see, the user is about using whatever means possible to get their achievements. You see, they're good at using relationships for convenience, using relationships to advance and to get and to receive their achievements, whether it's through personal friendships, whether it's through romance, whether it's through work-related relationships, even sometimes pastoral relationships. They will use whatever relationship they can to reach for and to achieve and attain their goals. And the sad thing about this, the user, the sad thing about this mentality of achieving is everything is that they will quickly abandon those relationships once they've got all they can out of them. This attitude feeds their human desire at the expense of others. You see, the user is very focused and doesn't care what they have to sacrifice to accomplish achievement, whether it's people, like we talked about, relationships, whether it's even their health, their integrity, their reputation. They don't care what they have to give up, what they have to sacrifice, as long as they can achieve what they're seeking. It's a toxic attitude that can ultimately isolate us. And it can destroy long-term relationships in our life. But you see, the characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that helps us combat this deadly attitude is kindness. Now, I think it's fitting that how the Lord just worked this out, that we talk about kindness on Mother's Day, right? Because I think many mothers often display this characteristic. When you think of moms, you think of kindness, right? I know my mom was very kind. I was always amazed at how much my mom gave up for us kids. She was always so kind and gave up so many things for us. She was a perfect example of kindness in my life. You see, the attitude of the user is about using others to promote themselves. That's not a mom. A mom doesn't use her kids to promote herself. A mom genuinely cares for her kids. The user uses to promote themselves, while the characteristic of kindness, you see, is about using ourselves to promote the character of God. That's what kindness is about. Kindness opens the door to the fullness of God's love and fellowship with others as we learn to act or respond in kindness. This was my mom. She always promoted us above herself. If all of us could walk in the kindness a mother shows to her children, I think we'd be doing okay, right? When you think about the aspect of most moms, I know not everyone's perfect, but in the reality in this figure that we think of when we think of a mom, I think we'd be doing okay. But the problem comes when we're called to extend that same kindness to everyone, okay? Because that's where it changes, right? It's one thing to extend kindness to your kids. And we see moms, that's the thing, that the kindness and love they have for their kids. But it's a different thing when we have to extend it to everyone, not just our kids, not just family members, but to everybody. To learn to extend that same kind of kindness that we see from a mom to everybody. This morning I want to look at a story that Jesus shares with us that talks or shows us true kindness. And the most challenging part of this story is that the man is who the man was kind to. He wasn't kind to his child. He wasn't kind to a family member. He was actually kind to someone that would be seen as an enemy. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 10 this morning. I want to read as that's our secondary scripture this morning. Many of you are probably familiar with this story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And we see how the Good Samaritan responds to someone that's not related to him, that's not a family member, not daughter, whatever, not a friend, but that's actually considered an enemy. And so in Luke 10, verses 30 through 35, I want to read to you this morning. It says this, in reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side." So these guys, they see him, and we're talking about a priest and a Levite. You would think if anyone would help this man, it would be them. And instead, what they do, they pretend like they don't see him, go to the other side and walk past him. But then it says in verse 33, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any expense you may have.'" This story actually paints a great picture for us of the difference between the attitude of the user and the characteristic of kindness. You see, we start off here by seeing these robbers who jump him and leave him for dead, right? You see, the robbers are a great representation of the user attitude, of the user mentality. They're only interested in what they can get from this man. They're only interested in what they want, right? They'll climb the ladder of success without regard to who they'll hurt or, in this case, leave stranded on the road. They do whatever it takes to get what they want to achieve success. And these robbers, they wanted money, and they achieved success by using this man. And it's the same thing that we do. It may not seem as bad from the perspective of I'm not a robber, but we do the same thing in the way we use people and hurt people. Even if it means taking or stealing from them, pushing them out of a position to excel above them, whatever it is. The robbers are a perfect example of this user attitude. But then at the end, we see the Samaritan who shows us what true kindness looks like. In this story, I actually want to point out 4 things that kindness required from the Samaritan. 4 things that kindness may require. First of all, we have to realize this. Number one, kindness requires action. It requires action. The Samaritan didn't pass by or ignore the man like the others did. He took action, right? He showed the act of kindness by simply doing what he could to help a person in need. That's what being kind is. It's seeing someone in need and coming alongside to help and to care for them. You see, kindness is literally love in action. It's loving and showing love to someone is kindness. It's not an attitude that we develop in our hearts. It's not a new way of thinking about the situations we encounter. Kindness is something that requires action. It's serving others and caring for others in love. That's what kindness is. That's what we see the Samaritan do. You see, kindness gives. Kindness shares. Kindness looks for needs and seeks to fill those needs. Kindness lifts others up. And sometimes it can be as simple as words. I came across a story on the internet that told of an elderly lady that loved to go to the local post office because the employees were so kind and friendly to her. Well, one day she was waiting in a long line to buy stamps at Christmas time. When a man in the line behind her said, "Ma'am, you know, you can buy stamps right over there in that machine. There's no need for you to wait in this long, long line." The old woman said, "Oh, I know, but the machine won't smile or ask me about my arthritis." Kindness is action. It can be words. Can be acting, helping, coming alongside someone. It requires action. And when we learn to walk in kindness, it blesses people. It blessed this man on the side of the road as the Samaritan acted in kindness. Kindness requires action, but also sometimes it requires being willing to risk. Being willing to risk. The Samaritan didn't stop to consider if the robbers were still lurking behind the rocks, right? He didn't worry whether it was a trap and that he might end up being the victim. Instead, he put his life in jeopardy to offer kindness to the one who was in need, to someone who needed help. You see, last week we talked about how we allow fear to paralyze us, how we often play it safe, afraid to take risks. He could have easily thought, "Wait, this could be a trap. Maybe I shouldn't." And I've done that before. I remember in California seeing someone on the side of the road and it looked suspicious and I didn't know if I should stop. I didn't want to stop. And I drove by because I was afraid, well, I just heard a story of a woman on the side of the road and a man being in the trunk. And when the guy opened up the trunk, they hijacked him and took his stuff. And sometimes we can have this fear that keeps us, well, it could be like that situation. I don't know if I want to do that. And we can allow fear to paralyze us. But you see, the reality is when we walk in kindness, we have to realize that sometimes it takes risks. We may be vulnerable when we offer to help someone. We may make ourselves vulnerable, and there'll be times where we might get hurt. But hear this, true kindness doesn't worry about how or what might happen. True kindness is quick to act and to show love to others regardless of the risk involved. Because it's about reaching out and loving and caring for people in the way God desires us to. It requires action. It requires risk. And number three, it requires us to be willing to pay the price. Sometimes kindness will cost us a price. You see, the Good Samaritan didn't examine the man's wounds and then calculate the cost. He didn't think, well, let's see, if I help this guy, man, it's going to cost me this, it's going to this and that. He didn't do that. He was willing to pay the price and do whatever it took to help this person in need. I mean, it said that he poured wine and oil, right? He would pour wine to purify and to disinfect the wounds. And then the oil he used, it would help comfort and soothe the cuts and the scrapes on this man. And he was willing to use his own wine, to use his own oil. And he paid for the man's care at the end. You see, he paid the price to be kind. And here's the thing, too, with that. The price was paid even without the guarantee that the man would recover or that the man would even be thankful that he did anything for him, right? Earlier I mentioned that this man was an enemy. It was an enemy. You see, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. As a matter of fact, they hated each other. They despised one another. But the Samaritan didn't let this prejudice keep him from showing kindness to this man in need. He reached out and he was willing to do whatever it took, whatever price he had to pay to help someone in need. You see, kindness pays the price regardless of the outcome, regardless of who the victim is. Matthew 5:44, we don't like this scripture. We like to go right over it when we read it in the scriptures. It says, "But I tell you, love your enemies. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." How many of you like, yeah, that's my Bible verse. That's my favorite scripture, man. I write it down. You know, it's there for me every day. I can't wait to just live that out. No. We hate to have to deal with people that we struggle with or that we don't like or that are our enemy, whatever that means for us in this world, right? But true kindness is shown to all people, all right? Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, right? True kindness is shown to all people, whether they're family, friend, or even an enemy. And it's displayed without fear of what it will cost. So kindness requires action. It requires risk. It requires us being willing to pay the price. And then number four, it requires us to put others first. And this is probably really should be number one. It requires us to put others first. The Samaritan didn't worry about his schedule for the day. Right? How many of us, I can't help this guy. I got to go. I got too much. And I've done it numerous times. I think of all sorts of excuses of why I can't stop to help that person or do that. Oh, I've got a schedule. I've got to keep. I've got to go, right? The Samaritan didn't worry about his schedule for the day. He didn't think about himself, but instead put the needs of the wounded man above him, putting others first. Not only did the Samaritan give of his resources, as we saw, as he paid the price, but he also just gave of himself. He gave of his time. Putting others first often means being willing to give of our time, to give of ourselves fully to someone. Philippians 2:3 tells us, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than ourselves." That's everybody. That's our enemies. That's whether it's family, friend, or foe, that we put others above ourselves. This is the core of kindness. The core root of being kind is realizing that to be able to be kind, we have to put others above ourselves. I know my mom did this as we think about Mother's Day. She always put us kids first. Whether it was using her birthday money to buy us school clothes. My mom's birthday is like September 3rd, right? And I remember when we didn't have a lot of money, she'd get money for her birthday. And what did she do? Instead of using it on herself, she would take us kids to get clothes that my dad couldn't afford at the time. And even little things, you know. My sister and I would be fighting over the candy or whatever. And my mom would be like, "Here, you can have mine. I don't need it." And I think, how did I become? Me and my sister were so selfish. No, I got more. I want more. I want more. And my mom was always just the type that was just like, no, here. You take this. I don't need it. You can have it. And she was always just so giving in whatever it was, saying, no, here, it's okay. And she always would put us first. My mom was always selfless, always willing to put us kids first. She is, in my mind, the epitome of kindness. Someone who would just give whatever they have and not care to her kids. You see, the attitude of the achiever is to put themselves first, to think only of themselves. It's that selfish mentality. How can I achieve what I want to achieve? How can I put others or get myself above others? Kindness puts others first. Instead of using others, kindness is about allowing ourselves to be used. The user uses others. The person who walks in kindness allows ourselves to be used to help others. and we have to choose. Are we gonna feed the things of the flesh, this user mentality to achieve the stuff in this world so that we can get the praise of the world? Are we going to choose to seek the things of the Spirit, to learn to put others first so that we can experience God's kindness in our life and experience God's fruit, God's power in us? That's God's desire for our life. That's what, as we walk through the fruit of the Spirit, it's what it's all about. It's learning that every day we have to choose put others first. Every day we have to choose to seek the things of the Spirit, to seek the things of God, because as we do that, then we begin to see His fruit blossom and grow inside of us. It's really cool. As we've been walking through this series, my wife and I, we planted some fruit trees. And I want these things to just, boom, pop out this fruit so I can eat it. And we've got little peaches and little plums that are, you know, like peaches are getting fairly big, but they still have a long ways to go. And it's been interesting. We've been walking through this message as we planted these fruit trees of how I'm out there watering, how I'm out there each day, you know, checking, pulling off the bad leaves and doing everything. I've been reading all the things to get the good fruit, you know, and it's still just very slowly, from day to day, I can barely see any difference. But I know in a couple months I'm going to have some beautiful fruit. And that's the thing with the Lord, that as we slowly every day just keep watering, keep giving our life to the things of Him, denying the things of the flesh, we're going to begin to continue. It may not see it from day to day, but over time you'll begin to see that fruit grow in our lives. And that's God's desire for us, that as we do that, we would see these things begin to develop, that we would begin to walk out kindness in our own life, putting others first, being like the Good Samaritan in everyday life. That's God's desire, that every day as we walk through our life, that when we see people in need, that we'd reach out to extend a hand to help. Every day before we go to school, as we're on our way to school, I pray with my kids. Well, when I'm taking them, we switch off and on in different days, but one of my prayers I just pray is, Lord, help us to have eyes to see those that need help, to be a friend to those in need, to care for those who maybe need a special encouragement that day, to help us to see that. That's my desire. And as we continue to seek those desires, we'll continue to see God's fruit developed in our life, and we'll begin to see these things grow in us. And pretty soon, you'll see some delicious fruit that not just you will see, but others will see in you. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning, and Lord, we thank You for the fruit that You're developing in each and every one of us. Lord, You're working in our lives, and I believe that. And Lord, some of us, the fruit's really small right now. But Lord, Your desire is to see it grow. And as we continue to seek the things of You, we will see that fruit grow in our lives. And Lord, there are times when we feed the things of the flesh and we begin to see bad fruit grow in our lives. Lord, my prayer is that You help us to see that. You help us to identify those things that we need to begin to step away from, and to identify the things that we need to continue to feed in Your Spirit, Lord. We want to be who You've called us to be, Lord. We want love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We want these things in our life, Lord. And these aren't things that you can just pick off a tree and have, Lord. They're things that have to be cultivated in and through the power of Your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we just pray that You continue to fill us with the things of You. Continue to give us the strength to seek the things of You, that we may see these things developed in and through our lives, Lord. Help us to be people who walk in the fruit of Your Spirit each and every day, who ultimately, Lord, put others first. We thank You, Lord, for this word. We pray that You allow it to penetrate our hearts, to help us become more and more like You. We just thank You and praise You for these things and lift them up. In Jesus' name, amen.